Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
In the Spirit and Truth series, I want to talk about chosen vessels. I always just ask God where to preach. I can't just preach. God's got to like lead me to wherever we're supposed to go. And I heard Acts 9. I went to Acts 9. I'm like, you know, Saul getting knocked off a horse and stuff, that's not very fun. Like, you really want me to preach that to everybody? You know, it's like, that's crazy. That's a crazy story. And then I kind of caught where he wants me to go. And so what I want to really talk about is I want to focus on Ananias and how Ananias came into that picture. So Saul's on his way, and he's heading in to basically jail Christians and to bring them back to Jerusalem. So he's heading in, and on his way in, God stops him, and now he's blind. And so he's brought into the city. He's blinded for 3 days. He's fasting, praying. And then the Lord cuts in, and this is where the Lord cuts in, and he speaks to one of his people. Now it says, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. Say disciple. It wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a missionary. He wasn't a huge. He's just a disciple, okay? So God just spoke to one of his children and named Ananias, and he tells him, and he says, Ananias, he says, here I am, Lord. Isn't that awesome? God starts to speak to you, and you're like all excited about what he's going to say. And all of a sudden, he says, arise, go to the street called Straight. And Ananias is like, okay. Inquire in the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. And his face drops and his countenance drops. And he's like, what? And he said he had a vision in the night and saw a man named Ananias coming and put his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answers the Lord. And he says, I heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here I've heard how he has authority from the chief priest to jail people, basically. But the Lord said, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine. Can you say chosen vessel? You know, you can have all kinds. And sometimes God has chosen vessels. We're all chosen to do something. We're all chosen to serve him. Now, not everyone's called to be in full-time ministry, but we're all chosen. We all have a mission. We all have a ministry. So we need to understand that God has chosen each of us, and sometimes that looks different. And with Ananias, he was having a hard time with this. So if you think about it, this is the first Christian who's not an apostle or a pastor where we see him laying hands on someone where he received the Holy Ghost. So he comes in and prays for him, and he says, when he comes in, and it says that he came in, and when he laid hands on him, he said, the Lord has sent me so you can receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he, you know, scales fall from his eyes, and now Saul is Paul, and now he can see, and then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. So my point is to start out is that all of us can pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen to that one? So you don't just have to have the pastor or the prophet or, you can pray for people for an impartation of the Holy Spirit. And God will fill them with the Holy Spirit. So the burden is on God, because God says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I'm not like an earthly father. And he said, even if it was an earthly father, would you as an earthly father reject something if your kid asks you for bread? Of course you're going to give it to him. Or you ask, and that's what he said. He said, if you would give your child this, how much more would I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask me? So I want to believe today that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that you'll have your faith released at the end of the service to get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's number one. And the second thing is, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, how many know there's an Acts 2? Right? How many know there's an Acts 4 also? So you can get filled and you can get filled again. Two chapters later, I'm like, these are the same guys. They're double dipping. It's like, yeah. We can have more. And so I just want to believe, because I think some of you need to get dipped again. You need a double dip. And you need a filling. So if you want to get filled for the first time or filled again, I'm just believing that God's got something waiting for you. You know, I don't know about you, but I was thinking back when we did team sports in school. I don't know how they do it today, but we just line up everybody. So here's all these guys at PE. We had PE in those days, I guess. That'll tell you something. Anyway, we're lined up and we're picking teams. You ever been on there where they're choosing teams? They got two captains and they're choosing, you know, I want, you know, send me, you know, send. And everybody's like, pick me. You want to be in the first round draft pick. You're like feeling tall. And when you're waiting, you're like, the basketball's over there. You're flexing and, you know, you want to be picked. You don't want to be the last guy standing to be picked. Is there any guys out here? Come on, is there any girls out here? How many want to be the last girl picked to be on a team? Isn't that horrible? How many, God chose you. God picked you. So the first one number point is God chose you. And you're not a second or third round draft choice. You're first round to God. He sees you. He loves you. He chose you. He calls you. So the Lord says to him, Ananias, go down, for he's a chosen vessel of mine. Can I just tell you right now, at this point, Saul is killing people. He's jailing people. He's got letters. He doesn't look like God's first round draft pick. I mean, Ananias is like, God, you're picking the people. And he picks someone and he's almost like, you're not from this neighborhood, God. That guy's bad news. You know what I mean? He's like, God, you're making, here's Ananias telling God about somebody as if God doesn't know. You know what I'm saying? But I got to tell you, I wouldn't have picked me if I was God. Don't just laugh. Think of you. You know your own depravity. Would have picked you if you were God? You'd be like, probably not. I mean, I was like some radical, and I had hair down in my waist. I was a drug dealer. I was a partier. I actually cut it before I got saved. But, I mean, I was like messed up, and God chose me? Are you here? He chose Saul. Saul didn't look like a first-round draft pick. He's killing Christians. He's getting people jailed, and you picked him? He's a chosen vessel? Wait a minute. Saul is a chosen vessel. He looks like a loser in the eyes of Christianity. Are you here? So you could look at people in the world right now and say, those people in the north are hacking up people. Burn them all, God. Kill them all. Kill all those people in the north. Cause pain and death to come on them. No, how about they get saved? How different was Saul jailing people? He probably, are you kidding me? It's not that the people are bad. It's the spirit that those people are operating under that's bad. It's the spirit of death and division that's bad. It's the spirit that's in the world. But even the worst of the world, God still looks at him and he sees potential. He looks at him and he says, "I'm still my creation." So Ananias was having a hard time believing that Paul would be used for anything. I mean, one of my pet peeves is this doctrine that people have that women can't preach. Well, who said women can't preach? That's the devil. He just like eliminated 50% of the people that could come up to the pulpit. What? Women can't preach? I mean, the devil puts out doctrine. Can I just tell you, the devil's going to put things out there to disqualify you. He's going to tell you that's for somebody else to do. Send someone else to go do that job. Oh, that person needs healing. Send someone who's a healer. How about the healer's inside of you? He's just waiting for you to open the cage. Even if it's awkward to you, it's like God just wants to bust out. He's inside. Let him break the wall down. If he has to kick the wall down, if he has whatever God needs to do, the spirit break out. Spirit's in us. He needs to come out of us. Are you with me? We just got to believe enough to let him out. And that's where I'm talking about the difference of Acts 2 and Acts 4. In Acts 4, they prayed for boldness and the place was shaken. And then they released. Are you with me? They got filled in two, but they had to release the whole. We need to be Acts 4 people as well. We need to release God because God's waiting to be released. But a lot of times we don't believe it. Romans 9:20 says, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? Does the thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? I mean, he's the master potter, and we're supposed to, he says in verse 21, or does the potter have the right over the clay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. To make from the same lump one vessel of honor and one another for common use? God has the right to do whatever God wants to do. And if God makes somebody, It's like, I don't know what's the deal. I mean, people with curly hair want straight hair. People with straight hair want curly hair. People with brown eyes want blue eyes. Blue eyes want brown eyes. Are you guys here? Everybody's like, oh, shoot. Is he? Well, how about we just like, God made you. He wants to use you. He's not waiting for you to like change your contacts and change your eye color or something. I don't know. He's not waiting for you to like, you know, like he wants to use you as you are. Look at Saul. Here's Saul, murderous threats and jailing people. And he's called a chosen vessel. Do you believe you're a chosen vessel? Do you believe you're God's pick? If God was up here right now picking teams, would you be like, I'm going to get called out. Would you get out of the way for a second? He's going to probably call me first. Are you here? Because how we see ourselves is how we will respond to his voice. We are chosen vessels. 2 Timothy 2:20 says this, in a large house, there's not only gold and silver vessels, but there are vessels of wood and earthenware, some of honor and some to dishonor. We're chosen vessels. And these vessels of a vessel of dishonor, if you looked at their culture, basically a vessel was like a pot, and they would make a pot. So say, let's just take the same clay, right? Look at the people next to you. They're made of the same clay. He takes the same clay and he makes two different vessels. But while the master potter's making this one, he puts it in the fire, and all of a sudden something bubbles out, and an imperfection in the clay bubbles out. And now all of a sudden it's a pot with a hole in it. That's not the pot you want to go get water in. Are you here? Because it's got something happened to the pot. So it's a vessel, but now all of a sudden, maybe it's cracked in the firing process. Somebody dropped it or something happened to it and it got cracked. So now it becomes, in the marketplace, you can get that cracked one really cheap. And what they would do is they would set the cracked one on the same bench as the good one. And the good one had the honor. It had the water in it and for the household. And the other one was like their garbage disposal. It was their trash can. Are you here? So there was vessels. There's different kinds of vessels. Can I just tell you, you're nobody's trash can. I don't care what the devil says, you're nobody's trash can. You are a vessel of honor. And if something happened in the midst of the fire that you've gone through, God will patch you, repair you. He'll make you new. You say, well, I feel like a vessel of dishonor. I feel like I've been the garbage can of life. Well, God's about to shift your day because you're a chosen vessel. You're not the vessel of dishonor. You are a vessel of honor. And he loves you. Psalms 51:6 says, behold, thou dost desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou will make me know wisdom. We need to have the spirit and truth inside of us. It's both, not either or. Now, you could say, well, what's the chosen vessel? What's the difference? Well, it's made from the same clay as the other vessels. And, you know, it has the same potential. But God sees the potential from heaven. So the first thing here I want to bring up, the next thing is 1A, is God knows we need to be transformed. Look at someone next to you and say, Lord knows you need to be transformed. Don't say that. Don't say that. Look at the person you're with and say, I need to be transformed. We all need to be transformed. I know I'm causing trouble now. Look, Ananias was basically saying, God, I heard smack about this guy, and you're making a bad choice for you to pick Saul, because Saul needs to be transformed, seriously transformed. Are you here? He's like, he doesn't deserve to be used by you. He's not chosen. This guy should be like that frozen, you know, that he should be like zapped, you know. He's like, are you kidding me? You want that guy? And he couldn't handle it. But how many know, does God know what he's doing? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says this, therefore, if anyone, say anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature, depending on which translation, but at the same word, depending how they translated it, it's the same word, and it means building, creation, creature. It's the same word. This is the same word God used to describe creation when he created. So what he's saying is when you're born again, you become a new creation. You're a new creature. So that when God created heaven and earth, he made creatures, right? How many know there's some really freaky looking creatures out there in the world? Have you ever looked at some animals and thought, God, how, what were you thinking? So when you were born again, God made you brand new. So if he made you brand new, I mean, do you ever think of like the question, like if I was made and I'm a new creation after I was born again, then why do I need to be transformed? Do you ever think that? I think like that. I'm like, well, if I'm a new creation and I'm a new creature, I'm a new creation, then why do I need to be transformed? But we need to figure some of these things out, because the devil will just say to you, well, you're just a messed up creation. He'll give you all these lies that you buy into. I want to ask you a question. Can I ask a question? Did God create the caterpillar? He did. And he created the caterpillar out of caterpillar parts? No, he created the caterpillar just boom shakalaka, created the caterpillar. He spoke it into existence, right? So he created a caterpillar from brand new, right? Same word. He created the caterpillar just like you're a new creation. So stay with me. When God created the caterpillar, did he know that the caterpillar still had a journey of transformation ahead of him? So if God creates a caterpillar and he knows that the caterpillar has a transformation journey when he created him, that the caterpillar was designed to be transformed into a butterfly, right? Same way, God creates us and we're born again with a plan that on the journey we'd be transformed, so we'd be the butterfly and not the caterpillar. That we would take wings and fly. So God believes that you're going to go to new heights. He believes that you're going to go to new places and new heights. Matter of fact, he created you with it. Matter of fact, you were designed that way. And when you were born again, same word he used. So was the caterpillar, if the caterpillar's design wasn't flawed, it wasn't wrong, then God designed it and you to be transformed. And so we need to embrace the transformation process and let God do what God's going to do. And when we stop the transformation process, that's when problems come. Are you with me? So we need to embrace the truth, because the Word of God transforms us. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we read the Word, we're transformed, right? If you're going to be a butterfly, you don't just need to keep going, I need the Holy Spirit, I need the Spirit, I need the Spirit so I can fly. How about you need the truth to be transformed so you can get your wings and fly? We need the baptism of the Spirit, but we also need the truth of the Word of God. We need the Spirit and truth. Are you with me? So we need both. And we need to embrace both. I wanted to see if you could put this picture up from the tech booth as I was looking at Mozambique, and there was actually these guys, and they were actually in Malawi, and they were scientists, and they were looking at this thing in Malawi, and they're like, man, you know, like, he looks over, and in Mozambique in the north, there's this real green spot on Google Earth. How many like Google Maps? I love Google Maps. I can just Google Earth. You can just zone in on an area, blow it up, and it's like, goes down. This guy goes on Google Earth, looks over, sees Mozambique, goes over to the mountains in the north of Mozambique, sees this real green spot, blows it all up, and starts exploring from Google Earth, and sees that it is, because they're looking for a rainforest that were undiscovered. Well, how many know in the 70s, Mozambique went through civil war, and there was all this trouble, and there was these savannas all around this area. And so here's a rainforest he finds on Google Earth, where there's no roads going into it. It's never been mapped. It's never been discovered. And this guy's like blown away, right? He assembles a team. That was like 2000-something, 2003 or something. By 2005, he's got like 20 guys, and he gets 70 people in Mozambique, gets permission. They're going into this rainforest. So it's a lost rainforest of, I think it's Mabu. Is it Mabu? Yeah, of Mabu. So they go into this place and they find like things they've never, they find new species. They found species of butterfly, birds. They found a viper they've never seen before. They find all these discoveries in this place that's hidden because the guy looks on Google Earth and he sees something nobody else saw. Now, just a few locals saw it, but it wasn't known to the world. Can I just submit to you that God can see better than Google Earth? If Google Earth can take us down and psych in and find all this beauty that was never discovered, find these beautiful creatures on the earth, can discover things and all these things that were discovered, he can look through the sea of glass and he can look into your life and he can see the things that aren't discovered. Our God is awesome. And they found all kinds of crazy, awesome stuff. And they led expeditions here, and it was awesome. They actually, Baylis was the head of this whole deal, and they named things after Baylis. So there's actually butterflies that are named and all these crazy birds and all this stuff. It's kind of neat. You could look it up and Google it. But you were designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were designed to be filled so that you could soar. You were designed so that you could take wings, so you could fly. So you, God designed you with that beauty in mind, and he sees your future. He sees what no one else sees. So we were designed with to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when God chose Saul, who called Paul, he was Saul, then they called him Paul. God saw his potential ahead of time. God sees your potential ahead of time. And God's already calling you out as a chosen vessel before you do anything. Wonderful. So we see this whole dynamic of spirit and truth. We're designed to be filled. I love it. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, everybody likes John 3:16, but once you get saved, you need 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is given and by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We need the word of God. We need truth. And once you get truth in you, 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means God doesn't just send you out there without equipping you. He's not going to just send you off a cliff without giving you wings to fly. He's going to give you, he's going to fill you with the Spirit to do what he's called you to do, and you've been called to do great things. So we need to learn, how do we tap into to be full of faith? We get full of truth, we get full of faith. We need to be full of truth and full of the Spirit. And as we do, then number three, we get to fulfill our purpose. We are filled to fulfill our purpose. There is a purpose behind our filling. Now, I don't know about you, but like I was saying, I've been filled, but I need to be refilled. You know, I drive an 8-cylinder truck. That thing sucks gas. I need to refill it so I can get to my journey. As Christians, we need to be filled again. Well, what are you doing going to a worship night? I was getting refueled. Glory of God was so powerful in the room. That was awesome. I go to the presence because that's where I get refueled. If you come to Summit and you go, well, you know, the music's too loud and this went off and somebody sang off key and this and that. Well, they didn't, by the way. They were awesome. But really, our mark is, did we get you into the presence? Because our mark is the presence, not the perfect decibel level, not the perfect mix, not the perfect pitch. Our goal is to get into the presence of God. And if we can get you into the presence of God, from that place you get fueled, you get that filling of the Holy Spirit. And from the presence, see, you with me? It's a whole different mark. It's a whole different target. The target is to get filled. And the world knows, the world is in need of people who are filled to just spill a little bit on them. The world needs that filling. So Paul was filled to fulfill his mission. Paul was a chosen vessel, but he needed to get his vessel figured out. So Paul had a mission and a ministry, but a mission isn't just something that you do. It's something, it's who you are. We're not just going on a mission to Mozambique. We are a mission in motion. Are you with me? Looking at one of my team members. We're not just going on a mission. We are a mission. We're just going to go into motion. Everywhere you go, you're on a mission. You just need to put the mission into motion. We are the church, and we get to be together and congregate into an assembly. Are you with me? We're not just going to church. You're bringing the church when you come here. We get to assemble the church. And so we need to change our mentality that we realize that it's spirit and truth, and that everywhere we go, because spirit and truth go hand in hand. I love in John 16:12, he said, however, when the spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Is that the Holy Spirit and truth, they come hand in hand. It's so beautiful when the Holy Spirit breathes on something you're reading or directs you in your studies. It's not dry. It's beautiful because he'll lead you and guide you. Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. In Acts 16:6, he says, when they'd gone through the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia. And so they went, but the Spirit didn't permit him to go somewhere. If you follow the Spirit, sometimes he'll tell you, don't go into this place, go into that place. The other day, I didn't go into one place that I normally go to. I went to another place, and there was a purpose. I ran into somebody from the church. I knew I needed to be there at that moment, even if it was for a brief impartation to just love on somebody and to speak a word into their lives. Are you here? But there was like, there's like divine moments. There was a divine, and I've several divine moments. I can't tell you how many divine moments I'm in this spot. And then all of a sudden, you know, half an hour later, you know, I'm ministering to somebody because God put me in the spot. And there's not a coincidence when you're listening to the Spirit. He will lead you and he will guide you. And as he does, we get to fulfill our mission. So his mission was to make disciples, and we're empowered, and he makes us successful. So as I was saying, I love it. Acts 1:4, he says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, John baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I just believe some of you are going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit not many minutes from now. I just believe it. In Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, sometimes people are waiting for an extravagant experience to be filled. I didn't have an extravagant experience. I just said, God, fill me, and he filled me. I was doing the dishes. I was sitting there at the sink doing the dishes. I'm a tasker. I'm like tasking, and he filled me while I'm doing the dishes. It wasn't spectacular in the sense of, you know, this great scene, but it was spectacular inside of here. And my whole life changed and got rocked. Some people, they have a dramatic experience. Some people, it's just you get filled. But I got to tell you, God fills you with power. And that power will shift your life. He'll shift you. He'll change everything in your life. Would you stand with me today? Oh, he's so good. It starts with us before we ask to be filled and refilled. It starts with us just saying, let me just, if there's anything I need to just empty, let's just empty it. So I just like you just to say this simple prayer to him and just say, forgive me, Lord. And if there's something that you need to be forgiven, just forgive me, Lord. Maybe you're carrying the wrong attitude. Just shake the attitude off. Maybe there's something that you've been doing that's grieving God. Just say, forgive me, Lord, and just shake it off. Come on, just say it. Just open your mouth and say, forgive me, Lord. And ask him. Just say, forgive me, Lord. Is there anything that needs to go? Just take it. And if there's nothing, that's awesome, because he loves to fill a person who's hungry. Just forgive me, Lord. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we're forgiven. And I thank you, God, that you break every hindrance that hinders the flow of your Spirit in lives. I thank you, God, that you would break right now over our lives and over this place, right here, right now, all of those things that are distracting, even as Jesus spoke in a parable and he talked about where one said, I need to go do this. I need to go build a house. I need to go do this. I need to tend to my family. How about God is first? And I pray he just take first place. Would you just tell him right now, just say, I just release all the distractions that keep me from you, God. I love you so much. I want you to be center. I want you to be first. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill everybody in this place. Even as you say, Lord, forgive me, you set the stage for him to fill you. And that's what he asked us. Actually, Jesus told him, he said, go wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. So I just want to pray that you get filled. And I want to start right where you're at. If you'll just ask him right now, right where you're at, and just say, just fill me, God. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, God. Maybe you're already filled, but ask him again. Just say, fill me. Fill me more, God. Fill me again. Fill me, God. Oh, fill me. I thank you. Some of you got filled in a big time way today already. But I just believe that some of you, your time is now. So right now, God, fill us. Fill us, fill us, fill us.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.